Also, just to add, it was mentioned that the law is our schoolmaster. And basically, the schoolmaster is here to make sure things are maintained. And that's what the law does. It maintains God's standards. Whereas in the book of Titus, it gives you what grace is all about. Grace comes in not as the schoolmaster, as the law. Grace comes in as a teacher. It says, Titus 2, verse 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world." And this is what the Lord Jesus will help us to do as we go through this scene. When we realize that in ourselves, we cannot do it, the Lord Jesus Christ, who the scripture described, grace and truth came by him. He is the one who would enable us to live as we ought to here in this present scene.
When we come back to what John brought us, in connection with our last brothers who spoke, you brought us the fact that the Christian expectation for a Christian is far higher, far greater than the Israelites under the law of Moses. If we are all to leave here this room with just what we've got so far, then we're no good. We're falling flat on our face. And now we're told that our standard is higher than under the law. Well, how can I walk away to walk in pleasing to God? In a practical way, or I would say in a tangible way? And I think the tangible way is, if we turn to Acts for a moment, Acts 9, we were just talking of walking, we find that the believers in the beginning, and that struck me this week, and I shared this with Nick on the road, there's one verse in Acts 9, verse 31, just the central part of it, so we'll read the whole verse. "Then had the churches rest throughout all of Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost." I want you to speak on this for a minute. They walked in the respect of the Lord, not in the fear of the law, but the respect and honor. And that's what a believer who wants to serve their Lord is. They want to do it. There's a yearning to do it in the fear of the Lord, respect. And then in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. This is something Israel did not have. The comforter of the Holy Spirit, comforter means one alongside with. We have this comforter. And he walks with us and he is in us. And he is there to help us when we finally give up in ourselves and in the law and applying the rules and regulations. Finally, he can do what he is meant to do to carry us through. And so we want to see that. And plus we have all the resources in the heavens. But I leave that for the brethren to go.
Fear of the Lord is reverential trust and hatred of evil, as a note of time. For a number of years, my wife and I were entrusted with 8 teenagers, some 3 of my own and 5 teenage foster children, and often sought to just let the scripture speak, let all things, including your bedroom kids, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, again, let the word speak. Colossians 3:17, "Whatsoever ye do, in word or in deed, do all in," what is standard? "The name of the Lord Jesus." And then, verse 23 of the same Colossians 3 says, "And whatsoever," that's all inclusive, both of them, "whatsoever ye do," "do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not as unto men."
It's interesting that throughout the book of Romans, and I believe I'm right, help me if I'm wrong, that's why we're here, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned once in the book of Romans until chapter 8. And so therefore, as we move through the doctrinal portion of Romans, man's ruin. He is completely incapable. Total depravity is a doctrine that we would certainly subscribe to. And I would suggest that it goes beyond just total depravity, it's total inability. Man cannot save himself. And then we see the Lord Jesus coming in chapter 3, dying, shedding his precious blood, justification by grace through faith. And then 6 and 7 we see the new head, the new Lord, and so forth. But it comes to chapter 8, where we see a justified man who wants to live for his Lord. Where is he going to get strength to do so? The Holy Spirit. That brings us to chapter 8. We're not at chapter 8 yet, I know. But as we've moved along, we see the divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, functioning together to not only save man, but to liberate him as well.
Brethren, I think Romans 5:5 does mention the Holy Spirit. Yes, the hope does not disappoint. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who is given to us. So that's one thing.
Yes, right. But I think in chapter 8, though, he's mentioned many times.
But one has to say, and sometimes we lose sight of this. When we were dead in trespass and sins, who gave us life? It is God. And the only way we can live this life is through God. And that's why we need the Spirit of God. It's very simple. Because we cannot do it in these bodies, flesh, or powers. It's impossible. It cannot and it will not be done. It has to be done through the one who gave us life. We are full dependency upon himself. And you know what? These expectations, Brother Mark, can be met in the life of the believer. Let's bring an example. We have heard before that the Old Testament says you hate your enemy. In the New Testament life, you love your enemies. And here comes Stephen in the book of Acts. He's being stoned and they're all in one, you know, as one man against him and being stoned. And he looked and he just simply rehearsed the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, lay not this sin against their child. I mean, how could this a person utter such a word? It is a person who learned the end of himself and recognized that the only deliverance for me to live for God comes from above, comes from this one that he saw standing at the right hand of God, that when a Christian reaches that point, believe me, you will see features of Christ in him. You will see it. So these expectations about loving the enemy was seen in the life of Stephen because he knew he's nothing but the Lord is everything.
And there are three things that we need to take hold of in that chapter. And those are facts that God had said concerning us. And the man in Romans 7, the person in Romans 7, learned that experimentally. Number one, in verse 14, that I am carnal. I have to learn that experimentally, that I am carnal. Verse 18, that is in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, none of us want to like, I would like to say I'm very spiritual and maybe you could do a lot of good things. None of us would like to say that. But that is what the Word of God is saying, and it is very true concerning you and I. And if you don't believe it, you will experience it, and you will taste it.